Greetings, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Sneaker History Podcast. I'm here with two outstanding gentlemen, two fathers, and Mother's Day weekend, so they will be, you know, taking a back seat this weekend, letting other people shine. I got Rowan and Mike. How you guys doing?
Good, man. You know, it's Friday. I'm happy that it's Friday. That's what I'm excited about.
I mean, if anybody knows me, one of my favorite phrases is, hey, man, half the battle showing up. We showed up, and now it's the end of the week, so we can benefit from something. I don't know what it is, but the benefits will be there.
Half the battle is showing up. Actually, let's take the second just to kind of plug a Mother's Day shoe while we're in the Mother's Day topic. Absolutely. So Adidas Original and Menace is dropping another superstar collab, the Old Rose colorway, and a nice Old Rose colorway. I think it's dusty pink, you know, Old Rose, you get the vibes. It pays tribute to his mother and the women who helped raise him. It's inspired by materials that are, you know, workwear inspired, with refined finishes that balance grit and grace in equal measure. There's actually a pop-up happening this weekend. So if you're in the LA area on May 9th, you can check out the shoes. The first 100 attendees will receive complimentary flowers for their mom. So if you're not going to be in LA this weekend on the 9th, just an overall beautiful pink shoe. I think that Superstar is one of those models that just can become any color you want it to be very well. So check those out this weekend.
And then please, let's go ahead. I was going to say, please don't call your mom dusty pink at all. Yes. That's the other word of wisdom.
Old Rose. Like, don't either one.
Old Rose. Unless it's your grandma and she literally is old and rose. do not be dropping those words together. But I believe release, is $180. Okay. They're available on the Confirmed app and on the Menace website on Mother's Day, May 10th. So go check out the special packaging. Really beautiful shoe. Check those out. Let's go ahead and jump into rocking and copping. Has anybody been rocking anything cool?
I got some rocking.
Go for it, Mike.
Reebok's DMX Series 3000. I love this shoe. Like, it's super comfortable, super bright. I've been wearing it all the time. It's literally sitting next to me because I put it on earlier. So that's my rocking.
That's a good wear.
Yeah, man. Copping? Man, you know what? I'm kind of up in the air in a couple of things. My only copping is when I got, shout out to the folks at Reebok, was the Reebok ice cream that came out, I guess, today. Or it's kind of been sporadically releasing, but the ice cream board flip that came out. This one was in the raspberry lemonade color. Loved the shoe. I've been a big fan of ice cream shoes since I was, 16 when he first came out. So, you know, that was my copping, and I'm super excited about it.
For me, what I'm rocking is the ultimate Friday dad shoe when there's nobody around to work. The Fleshlight
reaction. Speaking of dusty Fleshlight rose, what would you call that color? Rowan, what would you call that color?
Ask Mike. I think Mike heard me. Mike, what did I call that color?
I didn't hear a thing.
Now, I believe it's also, let's go with a nice coral, a tasteful coral.
Tasteful coral.
And no, Mike, it's not called the Fleshlight. I don't know why you would say it, Adam.
Well, the fact that you would say that thing, call it tasteful, I'm like, well, we got a whole different conversation happening at this point.
Hey, you know what? We're not here to kink shame on the Sneaker History Podcast.
Also, shout out Energizer. We can just tell everybody we said Fleshlight.
Yeah. Fleshlight.
Get the spot. You know what?
Duracell. Get those batteries in. It is Mother's Day weekend. As for what I'm hoping to cop, I think, as we'll kind of touch on later on in this episode, it's World Cup fever, World Cup season. So I think those Air Max 90s, especially the black and orange Hypervenom, and they might have been the 95s. I don't know. If they're around in my general greater Portland vicinity, those will be a RoboCop. If not, I think I've been spending a lot of money on the World Cup kits. But it's that time of the, I wouldn't even say year because it's not yearly, but it's that time of the decade. We get two of these every decade, so we got to cherish them.
Argentina is an Adidas or not?
They are.
Yeah, they are.
Good. So I have my last World Cup. No. So am I get this right? I remember it's really like tie-dye looking. I have their World Cup jersey from last year. I mean, last cycle.
Okay.
So I'm looking to get some of your new kits, but I really like that one I already own. So hate
you
to
know
be
what?
Devil's
keep it,
advocate,
keep it, Robbie.
Where
you're not
you,
on the bandwagon.
If you got it and you like it, wear it.
I'll use this
of
moment.
Wear Testers t-shirt. Shout out to Drew.
Oh, it's dope.
I wear this Wear Testers t-shirt like more than any other shirt around the house.
And last time. Go for it.
Yeah, I wear the Adistar Control 5 literally nonstop. It's an every week wear. These are the Shake James Milwaukee edition, the 977 area code. No, 677. They're just dope. I wear these nonstop. They're comfortable. It's so funny to think about what tech is relevant again from 2008. Mm-hmm. And the Addy Star being a 2008 retro. It's just funny. I think also about like Brooks and Asics and those like 2000, the 2000 to 2010 style shoe, and how just they all feel great underfoot. They're all so light. The mesh components feel great. And the Addy Star Control 5 is just like a contender amongst all those shoes. When it comes to Coppin, I want to get that Puerto Rico collab with Sneaker Room on the Addy Star Control 5. Profits of every pair of those sold through Sneaker Room will go back to the island to support construction of an outdoor roof of an elementary school in Salantis. So that'll help create a safe environment for kids to learn and grow. Puerto Rico, this isn't like a shock. Almost every shoe brand has a Puerto Rico collab at some point. Mm-hmm. But just the royal red and white versus like the navy red and white of America, I think just, and not just me, because they sell a lot of these shoes, looks so good. You can do that royal red and white on anything. And it's like the Puerto Rican flag is just like, it lends itself beautifully to shoes. Yeah. So those are dropping May 30th. So make sure you check those out. Buy them specifically from Sneaker Room so you support the island directly. But May 30th, get yourself a pair of comfortable shoes. My last little pitch on that is you can get Addy Star Control 5s for like $70 on the Adidas Confirmed app. Yeah. I may or may not have ordered another colorway. So there's like five or six different options there on sale. A couple new joints for full retail. But like for comfort and dunk, I love me a dunk. Don't get me wrong. But wore dunks recently and they just don't feel the same. So if you want a comfortable shoe and something from Three Stripes to go with all these kits we're going to be talking about, the Addy Star Control 5 is definitely a good shoe to go for that.
Robbie, I had a question about the charitable endeavors. Is there any way you can contribute to the roof fund without buying the sneaker? Because I think a lot of people would still like to do the nice humane thing. So man, if we can.
I would check out the sneakerroom.com directly to see if there's any information. I don't have any through myself, but go celebrate Puerto Rican Day parades across the country in these shoes and just go buy
there a pair. If you can listen to a Bad Bunny record, you can put a roof over the next generation of Bad Bunnies.
Boom. Yes. Speaking of which, I'm mostly going to, before we get all into the kit, let's just touch on Anthony Edwards for like 1 minute.
Let's do it.
Because Adidas Basketball had new signee Kelsey Plum in his new commercial. We all knew she was going to go somewhere when the Under Armour stuff fell out. So really excited to see her in Three Stripes. Women's basketball in the W is really strongly represented by Adidas. So that's super cool. And game one, I know the Spurs came back and got game two. Mm-hmm. But just the character of signature athlete Anthony Edwards is, after the game one win, the post-game interview, they're asking about how he did. He's like, I missed some rebounds. I hit some good shots, but I did a lot of stuff wrong. I bleeped some things up. very, very honest. But to come back from this, I want to say a surgery. He had some kind of leg injury.
It was a hyperextension of a knee.
Yeah. Right? To come back, it must be nice to have young legs. But to come back, lead your team to a game one win, have humility, and really always be on brand. And the brand is just authentic. You may not like that he cusses. You may not like that he talks like with a Southern drawl. You might not like various things about him. But there's no deniability that that shoe is all business and he is all business. There's fun stuff happening on the outskirts. But like the basketball player and the basketball shoe are business.
He's got that dog in him.
He has wolves. He has big dogs.
Big dogs. You were saying, Mike?
No, I was saying that was crazy that he came back so quickly. I was watching that game against Denver when he went down with the leg injury, and it was pretty nasty. Someone equated it to his leg turning into a parenthesis, and that was about right when you watched it. His leg, when he came down, just went backwards. Definitely closed in parentheses the way it went down. And it was the fact he came back and played, took that first game off of San Antonio. That's pretty solid, man.
He leads through. He's a He's a vocal leader.
He's a vocal leader. And he's also the rare leader that, you know what, even though he had his struggles, as he was the first to tell you, like, I was very impressed with the maturity. And I don't want to attribute it all to media training, but even the basketball awareness to let guys like Randall cook. Like, he could have very easily decided, I'm going to put on my Kobe hero cape and try to hero ball this. But that's a sign of maturity in a good way for all young players, is like, when you realize you can run the play and you don't have to score and the team still wins, that's when that next level gets unlocked for you.
Yeah. This is not a jab at Cade Cunningham, but Cade Cunningham's postgame interview does not sound like Anthony Edwards' postgame interview. And so, like, Cade isn't ready for the camera in the same way Anthony Edwards is. And to the media training, I think the training's been, here's some things we really want you to stay away from, but the other 90%, be you. I think that's really good. That's really good advice.
Because... No, it's exactly that. Because I agree with you, Robbie, and I'm not on Anthony Edwards' level in any shape or imagination other than saying the controversial thing here or there. But how do I know where the line is if I don't cross it? But now he doesn't need to know where the line is. He's already built that in. So good job, Ant.
Good job.
So World Cup Adidas ad just dropped today. This is Friday, the 8th of May. I'm gonna hand over to you guys. I'm just going to say I knew two people. Well, Bad Bunny, Timothy Charlemagne. So two non-footballers. Yeah. I knew Messi. I deduced it was Trinity Rodman just because I know
it was.
You're going to say Trinity. I'm like, oh, I know she's an Adidas athlete, deducing. And then young David Beckham. Those are the only people I knew. And I watched that was almost 3 minutes long, like 4 minutes long.
It was 5 minutes, dude.
It was long.
Yeah.
I watched that 5 minute long ad twice and was captivated. Mm-hmm. I'm passing to the guys that know ball, but as someone who does not know ball, wow.
I mean, the thing here is that when we talk about knowing ball, we talk about marketing first and foremost. We haven't seen, outside of course, I'm taking basketball out because we already know the Ant ads were provocative ads, got the people going, in the words of Will Ferrell. But the ad that we just got for Adidas, you know, soccer, football, wherever you fall on that, the naming, it was the best thing I've seen from a big brand when it comes to the impending World Cup. It gave us stars. It gave us not only on the soccer side of the world, but you got music superstars, movie superstars, putting everything together into this experience. Like Robbie said, he watched it twice. 5 minute ad, he decided to watch it again. And it wasn't pushing anything at us like, hey, go buy this. It just was all encompassing of the energy the brand is putting out for the World Cup, which, I mean, I love the World Cup, as we all do, but it even got me more excited because it's like, dang, man, like, they're really all in. When's the first game? You know, I think you guys can probably echo the same sentiment there.
No, you definitely can. And I think for me, what I thought was very interesting, and like, I'll be the slight hater in the room, and that's nothing against Adi and what they did. It's just the picks that I knit the nits that I pick are so small that you guys are going to roll your eyes at me, much like you guys rolled your eyes at me the way I flubbed that line. But no, it's a fantastic ad. The thing I really admired about it was, to Mike's point and Robbie's point, it's a throwback to these big tentpole ads that we would always see from both Nike and Adidas as it relates to the World Cup. Mm-hmm. And this specific ad had a lot of DNA from previous commercials as well. So you've got the 2006 World Cup DNA of the two kids leading it, much the same way the three protagonists of this commercial are the three kids, Clive, Ruthie, and I've already forgotten the other person's name. And then at the same time, you've got some of the bad CGI of previous players, like we saw with Nike in last year's or last World Cup's Weird Science campaign. And then also the aspect of competing in the cage. That's eerily reminiscent of 2002 in terms of the Scorpion tournament, where you saw the best 3-on-3 of all the World Cup players that were in that specific tournament. And then even the star power, like Robbie mentioned, we got Timothy, we got Benito, we got Leo. And that's something we hadn't seen since, I want to say, 2010 or 14, when we had the Write the Future campaign. So this felt like a good gumbo of previous commercials come in the past. And now, like we all said, we can't wait to see what actually happens, because if this is any indicator of the action that's going to take place on the field, I think we're set for a really good tournament.
So from a design or aesthetic purpose perspective, it was really smart to have, and I guess this fashion's trending that way towards Y2K, that's looking good right now. The baggy's cool. So to get away from what I'm getting to is they completely are like away from the Fear of God Yeezy futuristic aesthetic.
Yeah.
With this spot and with this campaign. And in my brain, I see it not just that, but like meshes and a lot of the materials and looks that I associate Adidas with my youth. Like, it's not just like a throwback to that time. It's like literally time machining back to like, let's have lookbooks from 96 and retool those for 2026 instead of just having a look in 2026 inspired by. It's like, no, they're going back to the drawing book and just making some changes to the original. And that's where I think the Adidas equipment, right? Where it says equipment under Adidas, right?
That
kind of look was very prevalent in that spot. And that's what I think Adidas does really well. Those are the kind of looks where the superstar never goes out of style. Mm-hmm. Like that superstar, any point, or the Control 5 being 2008, that looks like everything that fits. It can be so many different models. It could be like the actual converted soccer, like indoor shoe look that we have going on. Any type of motif looks good in that visual template of like Adidas equipment, Adidas, you know, big boxy mesh jerseys, big boxy shorts, gold leaf stuff. Like
what I found interesting though was, and you guys let me know, maybe I need to watch it a third and a fourth time. They didn't highlight any specific product though.
Nope.
It was more about the tournament. It was all about the lookbooks, like Robbie said. And I thought that was a unique way of looking at it, because usually whenever we see these type of spots, there's some sort of holy grail. Like the thing I always attribute it back to is that infamous scene in Indiana Jones where Indy does the swap of the gold thing with the rock. And like, we didn't see that. And that's perfectly okay. It's letting the athletes and the event be the star, which I think is an interesting way to go about these big campaign defining spots.
So did you clock any particular outfit, as I did? Did you clock any particular looks in the spot?
I mean, you got the two that really popped out to me were Messi and Bad Bunny, the baggy sweats.
They're both heritage looks. That's the point. So the two things.
Well, they understand the assignment very well.
Sambas, white socks, hat, hoodie up, gray Adidas jumpsuit. Trinity had that like yellow top going.
The jersey type deal.
The two gentlemen in the back zip up track. Like the Adidas heritage, it really showed that that does not go out of style. It just moves with the times. Who were those two people in the back? I don't know
Those two people in the back are essentially the Spanish equivalent of Larry Bird and Magic Johnson. So the gentleman in the more dapper suit is Jude Bellingham, England's probably best player. He plays for Real Madrid. And the gentleman that was late was 19-year-old phenom Lamine Yamal. And essentially, they play for Real Madrid and Barcelona, respectively, hence the Lakers-Celtics of it all. That's why there's that tension. And Chalamet has a line of, okay, glad to see the chemistry is already there. These two guys are essentially
Makes sense.
For the Yankees and the Red Sox, the Lakers and the Celtics of Spanish football. There's always tension as it relates to those specific players and those specific teams. And that was a nice way of, once again, to your point, if I'm somebody brand new when I'm watching this spot, I want to know a little bit more about the tension. Can I do my Googles and find out? Yes, you can. Can I find out listening to my favorite sneaker theme podcast? Certainly. So it's those type of Easter eggs that not only bring in new people, but also validate a credibility to established soccer heads like Mike and myself.
And their body language said it all. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah. So the good thing about this ad, like I said, you talked about not being forced. It was a very natural ad from the rivalry of our two players we were just speaking of to just the look. And I say I want to give Adidas credit, because I feel like of a lot of the brands out there, they really have, when it comes to styling things like outfits, sneakers, all that good stuff, as a whole, they really have their finger on the pulse very well. It's not forced. Well, I feel like some other brands out there really, you know, try to force a particular agenda with their fashion. Adidas is like, hey, we do this well already. This is the wave we're on, and they made it look natural. It didn't look out of place. And Robbie, I think you mentioned it very well. It's like the product is very timeless, and they made it look like we jumped right back into 1996, 2000, or even now with the new wave of fashion. It's like,
that was my next question. Right. Who are the other two guys, not David Beckham, in the retro team?
On the retro team. So I think a lot of people would recognize the gentleman in the French colorway. That would be Zinedine Zidane. If you are unaware of his football exploits, I'm sure everybody knows about his headbutting exploits. And
I don't know. See, I don't know anything about him.
Really?
Tell me.
So, oh, God.
That's okay. This is why we're the secret history. So for the next 2 minutes, this will be the history emphasis of the podcast. So in 2006, Zinedine Zidane was having probably the greatest retirement tour any athlete of any sport could have, and then based on something that was uttered to him by an Italian defender in the World Cup final, he headbutted him and basically invented the concept of memes before we understood what memes were, because then you saw that same person getting headbutt and have the Sonic rings knocked out of him, or the wasted sign from Grand Theft Auto. So that is once again the history aspect of it. The other gentleman is Alessandro Del Piero. He's not at the same level as Zidane and Beckham in terms of global star power, but as the young lady in the spot alluded to, he is quite the handsome devil. So there is a reason why I'm sure he was also selected, because you've got England, France, and Italy represented in that all-star retro team from 2002.
Yeah, but he's of the era.
He is of the era. Yeah. And some of the other things as well that, to your point, one thing I noticed that was very conspicuous was we keep talking about the Adidas style. So there was also that interlude as the final game of the spot was about to take place, where they kind of cut to a couple other contemporary players. One was Ousmane Dembele, who's essentially won the Ballon d'Or, which is the closest thing to global soccer has to an MVP. He was getting fitted for a custom tux, or so it seemed, and then contrast that with Rafinha and Pedri in a sushi spot in Barcelona, presumably because they both play for Barcelona as well. And they had the same concept of one person was wearing streetwear, but the other person was wearing elevated. And the repeated instances of this lets me know that they are now essentially elevating those two things at the same level, which is very intentional.
So Rohit, were there any other footballers on there that notable that they were spliced in?
The gentleman throwing darts was a German player by the name of Florian Wirtz. And it was also very conspicuous that every single player that Adidas featured from a contemporary lens are going to be instrumental to their team's success. Mm-hmm. So if Brazil wins, it will be because Rafinha had a great World Cup. If Spain wins, it'll be because Yamal and Pedri. If England wins, it'll be because Jude Bellingham finally lives up to the potential. So that was also very intentionally done, I'm sure.
Now, nice. I got to ask, as we look at this, as you look at the brands, you know, we've got to talk about the two big boys, Adidas and Nike, as it comes to this World Cup lead up. Rohit and his Rocket and Coppin mentioned the soccer boot inspired Air Max series we're going to be getting, which very nice. I love it. Like, I'm with you, Rohit, that Air Max 90. I would love to have that one in the collection.
Predator's Adidas. I think that one was inspired by the Hyper Venom, but there's a couple different ones. I think the T90 Hyper Laser Venom, also has a...
Yep. And so the reason I bring this up is because we have some great things. Like, if you've been following Adidas, they've been doing it well without having to advertise, but their whole F50 series of their hybrids they've been doing, very nice. Again, we have the Total 90 series. We have the Hyper Venom with Nike. Which of the two do you think has been connecting more, in a sense of, has the market been hitting the mark for the consumers? Because I feel like no one's actually going out of their way to promote a soccer piece of, like,
shoe. What you're saying, like,
yeah, but
it's more like on TikTok.
Yeah, so
people are doing it for them.
Well, you get the Paddock cleats that are coming out, which amazing for Nike. Those look
the
fantastic.
The crypto shots that we still aren't sure are they an April Fool's joke or not. Yeah, keep going, Mike.
Yeah, but there's so much out there. No one's actually going product for product. They're letting the event and, like you said, Robbie said, the kind of the marketing from influencers or social media marketing really do the work. Which one's having a better moment? Or is one having a better moment, or kind of equal at this point?
I'm an old. I don't go on TikTok, so I wouldn't know. But I think I'm astute enough to realize that whereas the three of us and Nick as well grew up in a generation where the TV was the ultimate pitch man or the pitch woman, depending on how you want to characterize the gender, the phone is now that. And so we may be completely missing the boat in terms of how this is hitting for kids that are in that demo that both Nike and Adidas are trying to chase. I can just kind of allude to how we grew up. And I would say this, right now, I think everybody, it's the same way that you guys ever watch a championship fight, and there's that popular theory of like the first 3 to 6 rounds, you're just feeling the other guy out. You don't want to make the mistake. You're just jabbing. You're just jabbing. You're just jabbing. Ooh, I tried an uppercut. It didn't connect, but I didn't conserve too much of, I didn't use too much of my energy. So I think that's where we're at right now. Ask us this question again in the middle of the World Cup and then at the end of the World Cup. And I'm sure we'll have 3 separate sample sizes of data that we could refer to. Robbie, what are you thinking though?
I'm thinking Adidas, because even I'm going through, and they've just repurposed that big TV ad, like you were saying, as we were younger, the TV or the print was the big driver. They've repurposed so many different angles of that World Cup ad to where it's going to live really well, I think, in social media. It's going to live. I think everyone's going to see it. It's going to connect really well. From a literal football inspired or football to fashion sneaker perspective, I would say Nike, just because I don't know anything about soccer, but I know there's a total 90 and Nike makes it. That's literally like
good enough, man.
My basis of knowledge behind them. Yeah. But aesthetic wise, vibes wise, Adidas for sure.
Nike has their work cut out for them. Whatever commercial that they have, I hope they take an extra 2 weeks just to make sure it can buy the same amount of cultural currency and relevancy as this Adidas spot.
I really because hope it's not the you can't win, just win. Like, that was so bad. That was like,
I mean, and that's in the eye of the beholder, right? So I obviously work where I work, and the feedback, and maybe this is part of the fact that I'm in loop, so to speak, everybody loved it. Everybody thought, okay, this is a step in the right direction because it's a step to our previous heritage. And so I think it's okay to start the conversation that way, but you don't want to become one note. So if it continues to have this weirdly sinister and self-deprecating tone to it, then I think, dare I say, Adi might have won this just pure personally off of vibes alone, because we live in the golden era of vibes and things, as so many people have told me. And it's just one of those things that it's a party. And more importantly, it's a party that you get invited to. You don't feel ostracized, or there's no barrier of entry that, okay, I have to be this similar, this sort of aesthetic to get into the party. So kudos to Adi for setting the party off right.
Yeah. Well, I don't like participation trophies.
I was about to say that.
If you can't win, just win. It's like, this is generally a me perspective. Like, I am always of the perspective, like, why can't we all win? And that, you're right, the Nike ethos of like always be on offense, you know, the old branding, be aggressive, that's great. But I feel more of a community aspect from Adidas. Like, the game isn't the main event in to them. I'm not saying it's not, but like the experience is the main event. So it's like not winning the World Cup, but being in the World Cup final. And I'm not saying they're saying that, but just like the appreciation and like, I don't know, it feels more personal versus aggressive. Like,
it's collaborative versus aspirational, right? Like, the one thing I can always kind of...
Collaborative versus aspirational. Yes, that's a great way.
Everything Adi does has a tinge of, hey, join us in this party. Mm-hmm. Everything Nike does, for right or wrong, and I tend to think it's okay to have this thought process, is you have to aspire to meet us at our level. And the best thing I can tell people is, whatever your messaging is, as long as you have variety, go on, my son, or go on, my daughter. But the minute you go one note, you lose it. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah. No, but I was going to say, if you look at that ad, it does a little bit of both. So it's community building as we're a group coming together for the World Cup, but you still get the I want to win aspect. You have the aspirational because you have the 3 kids who grew up to adults who haven't lost since, what, 96. You have them doing anything they needed to do to win that last game against the legends. So it's okay. I think it's okay to have that we want to win, because there's only going to be one win in the World Cup. Yeah. Like this. And honestly, I think whoever, like, they need to go, Nike needs to really lean in on that because, well, that Boston. Boston Marathon ad, I think nothing was wrong with that, because guess what? There is a winner of the Boston Marathon. that's it is for professional runners. There is a winner.
Yep.
Now, the participants who are doing it for themselves, 100%. But guess what? You're trying to top yourself still. If they can find a way to put inclusiveness and I'm trying to win together like Adidas just did in that ad, they'll be fine. It's just they can't. They gotta back whatever horse they're going to do and not be so easy to like, oh, I'm sorry, my bad.
Yeah, but the thing is, Mike, like, this is what I would say. If Nike made the commercial that we just saw from Adidas, I think all the story beats would be eerily similar, except for the biggest beat of all, which is Nike would make the commercial where the protagonist would be the kids taking on the established legends on the court. Yeah. So that's the difference between the two marketing philosophies. And I wish Nick was here so he could kind of give us more of the psychology behind it. But if Nike's making that commercial, Chalamet is picking up these three kids to take on Lamine Yamal, Trinity Rodman, Jude Bellingham. Adidas made that commercial, so Lamine Yamal, Trinity Rodman, Jude Bellingham are taking on the kids who are the legends of the court. And there's nothing right or wrong about either one of them. It's just based on the story you want to tell, you have to make sure that the corresponding messaging is right.
Exactly. It's just like you have to follow through. That's all. Don't go half-hearted. Whatever you choose, go with it. Because I don't think when people see the World Cup, they're all in for their country. I mean, this is probably between this and the Olympics, this is you're going to get the most country pride from folks.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Like,
and
we want to see USA win. Like, I would love to see America win. Will it happen? Probably not, but I'm going to root until I'm hoarse, for every game.
And I mean, not only that, to your point, part of what makes this for me more personal is at least the Olympics, there's a diversity of sport. So you may not get the premier sport. Like, you may not have a gold medalist in the track or the swimming or the basketball or the whatever. But there's enough events that everybody gets a seat at the table, which is to the point that Robbie was kind of making.
Yeah.
The World Cup is a one sport event. So you are all getting judged on the same merits. You are all getting evaluated on the same criteria of were you successful or not? And it's going to be really interesting. Now, I think just slight tangent because I am the nerdy weirdo that I am. Adidas, if I can get 30 seconds of your time, love the soundtrack that you had with this. Like, there were some four bangers. But chronologically, let's do better research because Don't Sweat the Technique came out in 1992 and you kind of insinuated that it was played in 96. I can let that go because there's a reason why certain songs are timeless. I think the next song was Woo-Ha Got You All in Check in the commercial. I think it was 98, but that song came out in 96. So I think you could have at least made that there. 2002, Grimy was in 2002. So nailed it on that aspect. But this is the one that's most egregious. In 2010, you played On a New Level. That song didn't come out till 2012. So,
I didn't even realize that. Oh, you caught that. I wouldn't even pay attention that like that deep with the music.
I am a nerd. I am.
That's all right.
Who I am. And this is just me, because one thing that the Sneaker History Podcast will always do is allow you to be a hater, but in the most respectful and the most nerdy of ways. So other than that, a flawless ad. Can't wait to see what Nike does, because iron sharpens iron. So inevitably, the commercial output from both brands is only going to elevate this thing that we love most, whether it be the sneakers or the sport. So thank you all for kind of listening to us talk about it.
Yeah, and I will say Nike and Adidas, since we're sitting here talking about World Cup, if you want to donate a few jerseys to the nice four or these handsome gentlemen who host this podcast, we would not say no to any of these beautiful World Cup jerseys you guys have floating around.
I already have both USAs. I have a Brazil. I'm waiting for the match version of the Uruguay Wakanda Forevers, and I'll be fine.
Whoa, I have not seen that one. What?
Why don't you, let's do this in real time, Mike. If you have a computer near you,
I want
you
to type
Uruguay 2026 away kit.
See, what I have right now, I have Portugal's home jersey, the red and green. I have Argentina's championship jersey.
The white and
jersey.
Blue stripes. Yep.
White and blues with the championship emblem in the front. But that's it right now. That's it. You said Uruguay?
Uruguay. Yep. Uruguay.
I always forget the extra.
It's your favorite homophobic dyslexic slur.
And I will never forget it now. Oh, away jersey. All right, away kit. Holy crap. I didn't realize that was the thing. That is dope.
Yeah. And I think, like, aesthetically, there's always one kit that people fall in love with that almost propels their hope for selected team to go a little bit further. So you get more of an exposure to that kid. So that for me this year is that Uruguay kid. Now, that being said, we are a podcast that supports all endeavors, apparel and footwear based. So if somebody is saying, well, Ro, you talked about the Nike kit, what are some Adidas kits that are worth checking out? For me, I think the Japan away and the Spanish away kits.
Oh man, I love Japan's away kit. I love, Costa Rica, kind of the flowery print. Yep. I think
Belgium's got a good one. Like
Belgium,
it's been really interesting to see how you can tell what different emphasis and style points have been allocated across these two companies. And knock on wood, man, even like lesser brands, because I don't mean to be intentionally disrespectful, but the brands that don't have the same profile as Nike and Adidas on the global stage, but are still behemoths in their own right, like Puma and the stuff that they're doing, especially for the African continents, has been fantastic. I think one of my favorite
Portugal jersey.
Oh, yeah. And Portugal jersey as well. Like, I love the elephant crest that Puma has for the Cote d'Ivoire or Ivory Coast, if you're from Missouri like me. So,
and you said it perfectly the first time. No, you did. You did. No matter if you're from Missouri, you know what? You studied that. Fantastic.
I'm a proud product of Missouri Public Schools. So if you think I'm smart, compliment them. If you think I'm dumb, compliment them as well.
No, I think the jersey is this only jersey I kind of have a slight beef with. I think it could have been done better. Is the Jordan brand iteration of the Brazil jersey. That's the only one I have a slight beef with. Not even that it's like terrible, just in comparison to everything else out there. It's like, it just kind of falls beneath everything else I've seen from like everybody else.
We have an internal policy that we try not to get episodes past that 45-minute mark. Unfortunately, Mike may have opened up a can of worms that I will use as an excuse to advocate for becoming a member of our Patreon. So inevitably, Mike, I will give you the 15-minute history lesson about the Jordan Brazil away kit, because there's a lot to unpack. It's just we don't have time right now, but this is what we call a tease. So please join us on the Patreon. Please join us next week. If somebody wants to remind us, whether it be on the Sneaker History IG profile or at our individual accounts, MadWatcher789 or RoadM13 on Instagram, we'd love to have that discussion.
Sure. And yeah, you guys let us know what's your, you know, what brand you think is doing amazing things right now for the World Cup, what jerseys, what kits are your favorite. Personally, I'm on that. Well, not the hunt. I just need to go buy it. I need both USA kits because I love that. God, is it navy or black?
It is navy.
Okay, it looks black. You. Almost.
Let's chat after the episode. Let's see what we can do.
It's like, oh, I gotta spend money. That's the only thing. Like, all right. Yeah. But yeah, guys, let us know. Leave us comments. I haven't looked on the other providers we use, but I looked on the Apple Podcasts. Our last comment was like November of like 2 years ago. Come on, hit us with a comment. Love us or hate
don't
us.
Make me set up 15 fake emails so I can comment some more. Or better yet, I'll ask my mama to do it. And you know that's going to be biased.
Too. It's Mother's Day. So yeah, my mom
it is Mother's
comment
Day.
Too.
So why not? You know what? Right. Listener, tell your mom. We'll treat you on a brunch. You can CC Nick Engvall or Robbie Falchi, and they will handle the bill. But all it takes for up to a $50 gift voucher is for you to write a review, like us, follow us on socials, and yeah. Look forward to talking to you guys next, because the World Cup's coming and we're going to have a lot of content for that.
We surely will. So, guys, until next time, see ya.